David was playing during the offering was Dance Me to the End of Love. And I'm going to use some of the lyrics of that to take us into our time of meditation and stillness. Dance me to your beauty with a burning violin. Dance me through the panic till I'm gathered safely in. Lift me like an olive branch and be my homeward love. Dance me to the end of love. Dance me to the children who are asking to be born. Dance me through the curtains that our kisses have outworn. Raise a tent of shelter now, though every thread is torn. Dance me to the end of love. Dance me to your beauty with a burning violin. Dance me through the panic till I'm safely gathered in. Touch me with your naked hand or touch me with your glove. Dance me to the end of love. In 2005, when Leonard Cohen was inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame, Adrian Clarkson, who was at that time the Governor General of Canada, said of Cohen, "Leonard changed all our lives with the complexity of his sadness and the breadth of his love. He gets inside your brain, your heart, your lungs. You remember him, you feel him, you breathe him. He is our connection to the meaning of ecstasy, our access to another world we suspected existed, but which he puts into song." Part 1. Leonard Cohen, the Lover. Now, Leonard Cohen is an interesting fellow. Poet and an artist, 12 books of poetry, 2 novels, 22 albums, and countless drawings and paintings. But he is much more than that, culturally and spiritually. I have focused today on 3 aspects of this man. The first part I call Leonard Cohen the Lover. The second part is Leonard Cohen the Monk. And finally, Leonard Cohen as Prophet. The categories will tell you something of the sphere of influence that he has held and developed since the 1960s. He was born in Montreal, Quebec in 1934. The grandson and son of a rabbi's. He was an English-speaking Jew in a minority culture, in the minority Anglophone culture of Montreal, surrounded by the sea of a vibrant and passionate Francophone culture. He studied, sort of, at McGill University, but mostly he wrote poetry, drank wine, and devoted himself to the exploration of a land called women. He had a brief stint at Columbia University studying law, but quickly moved back to being a full-time artist in Montreal. Growing up in Montreal in the 70s, I myself was very aware of his poetry and music, and his reputation as a ladies' man. As a teenager, I read and reread his poems and listened over and over and over and over again to his songs. The first song that we will hear this morning was that my dear friend Jane is going to sing in a moment, is called Suzanne. There are themes in this song that are themes throughout all of his work. That life and loving is a journey, and that this journey is full of beauty and despair, and that our human imperfections are our saving grace. This love that we yearn for, will die for, that we forget and lose and then recover, this love is both for humans, men and women, and for something bigger than us, something eternal. This need to love, and to love blind, to love without nets or sense, to love simply because we must, is the hallmark of our humanity. The song's words go, "We are leaning out to love, and we'll lean that way forever." And these are the words that touched my heart, stirred the embers of a truth held 40 years ago.
Thanks. by the river. You can hear the boats go by. You can spend the night forever. And you know that she's crazy. And that's why you want her to be there. And she feeds you tea and oranges that come all the way from China. And just when you need to tell her that you have no love to give her, then she gets you on her wavelength and lets the river answer that you've always been her lover. And you want to travel with her, and you want to travel blind, and you think maybe you trust her, for she's touched your perfect body, your mind. Jesus was a sailor when he walked upon the water, and he spent a long time watching from his lonely wooden tower. And just when he knew for certain only drowning men could see him, he said, all men will be sailors then until the sea shall free them. Himself was broken long before the sky would open. Forsaken, almost human, he sank beneath your wisdom like a stone. And you want to travel with him, and you want to travel blind, and you think maybe you'll trust him. For he's touched your perfect body with his mind. Now Suzanne takes your hand, leads you to the river. She is wearing rags and feathers from Salvation Army counters. The sun pours down like honey on Our Lady of the Flowers. And she shows you where to look amid the garbage and the flowers. There are heroes in the seaweed. There are children in the morning. They are leaning out for love. And they'll lean that way forever when Suzanne holds her mirror. And you want to travel with her, and you want to travel blind. Then you think maybe you'll trust her, for she's touched your perfect body with a mind.
Listening to that song now and remembering how I heard it back in the 1980s, I feel that that man who wrote those words knew what my inner life was. I heard and felt his compassion for our human loneliness and pain and aloneness. I identified with that desire to trust and be trusted and to learn about trust. I identified with the need to be seen and to be touched by another human being and by Jesus, that very approachable human God. I identified with Suzanne being beautiful and crazy, wearing rags and feathers, and I identified with her wisdom to lead me to that, to what I most desired, what we most desire, to see that every person leans out for love, the children and the drowning men and women, and that she holds that mirror that I might see myself and know the truth of who I am and who we are. Now, Cohen says we are drowning men and women, and we are found both in the garbage and the flowers. We are drowning in the challenges and the demands of being human in this world, and we are also heroes. We are heroes because we have attempted to love, to live, because we are still seeking, and because we are still learning to trust. Trust comes up three times in one in each stanza. The first time, and you know that she will trust you. And then the second, referring to Jesus, and you think maybe you'll trust him. And then in the last stanza, he says, and you know you can trust her because she's touched your perfect body with her mind. And I understand here perfect body to be about the pure body, the real self, mind and body melded. When this union takes place, the experience of this melding creates trust, and we are then more likely to rest in love, in the knowledge of love. I also hear in these words that it's not easy to love. We are built for connection and love, but we don't trust easily. And Cohen knows this and has found the words that gave me understanding and compassion and hope. Cohen, he plunged into love over and over and over again, and every lover that he took became famous by that love.
And you want to travel with her, and you want to travel blind, and you think maybe you'll trust her, for she's touched your perfect body with her mind. Let's sing together. And you want to travel with and you want to travel blind, and you think maybe you trust him, for he's touched your perfect body with his mind.
A human who was an explorer in the land of love and a spiritual seeker yearning for the knowledge and the experience of God's love. And he was the imperfect lover, painfully aware that he, like all of us, are sometimes too scared to love. As much as we long for it, whether that is human love or spiritual love, we lean out for love, and we will lean that way forever. Cohen reminds us to bring great compassion to ourselves, as we are only human and are bound to fail. And that's okay, because we will try again. Part 2, The Monk. As with many artists, and not always artists, Cohen suffered from depression. You can hear the despair and the darkness in most of his writings. He battled the depression, he danced it, he turned it into beauty, into music and art. And yet he was a man seeking freedom, freedom from the darkness and the pain. As a means to deal with the darkness and to know himself more deeply and what freedom entailed, he turned at an early age to the practice of Zen Buddhism. At 35, he met his Roshi, or teacher. And then in 1994, at the age of 60, at a time when his career was going extremely well, but his inner life was not, Leonard Cohen stepped back from the world of music companies and publishers touring and entered the Zen monastery at Mount Baldy, California. Here he stayed for 6 years. Now, I remember the media buzz at the time when he first sort of disappeared into the monastery. There was shock and feelings of abandonment that we would lose Leonard Cohen forever and ever. We didn't know he would come out in 6 years. He was ordained a Buddhist monk in 96. And he devoted his time at the monastery to serving his teacher, the Venerable Kyozen Joshu Sasaki Roshi. Leonard's monastic name was Jikan, which meant ordinary silence. And when asked by one of his biographers what Roshi and the Rinzai Zen Center contributed to his life and work, Cohen responded unequivocally, survival. When Leonard left the monastery, he was quite disappointed that he hadn't achieved enlightenment, that in fact he was still human and full of his human imperfections. But he did claim that he had discovered a unified heart. And this is not insignificant. What does it mean? I suggest his heart was broken and torn from longing, longing for that perfect love, that perfect union with women or God, a heart that yearned for truth and found that life is illusion, a heart that yearned for freedom and found that life was suffering. And yet here he was, emerging from the monastery with a unified heart. Perhaps what he found there was the oneness of humanity, the perfection of imperfection, the hallelujah in the darkness. The song Hallelujah was released back in 1984, achieving absolutely no success whatsoever. In fact, his record company wouldn't even record it, release it. Bob Dylan, though, at the time said this was a special song, but he was a lone voice in the wilderness at that time. Today, this song, Hallelujah, has touched millions. Hallelujah is probably Cohen's most recognized song, as it's been covered by over 200 different artists over the years, like Jeff Buckley, Bono, Rufus Wainwright, and Katie Lang, who sang it at the Winter Olympic Game openings. It's featured on countless TV shows and films, Shrek being one of the more popular ones. And it's inspired many artists, one of them with us today. Francie?
Hallelujah Dialogue for One Who Wouldn't Sing with Leonard. How can you not sing Hallelujah with Leonard, with KD, Stephen Page? You say the song is too religious. You can't have heard the words. You don't really care for music, do you? Are you so church shy you couldn't hear it? Some people have cross cringe, crucifix cringe. Do you have church cringe, hallelujah cringe? What did you mean? Where are you now? I want to ask, did you mean too Christian? Leonard, the Lord of Song, was Jewish, then Buddhist. I'd study his meanings. The Gospel, according to Cohen. He's a modern-day prophet. It's a universal anthem, a song crooned near cradles and a graveside celebration. There is lifelong meaning. How can you not join the chorus any morning of the week? How can you not shout hallelujah?
What is it about this song that's inspired so much creativity? So many versions, so why have so many people been overcome or confused by its meaning? I was at a workshop a few years back and witnessed a man hear it for the first time, and I saw something of his life opened and healed through those words, the words, and the music. Cohen himself said in a joking manner when somebody asked him, what was it about this song that grabs the listener? He replied, well, it's got a good chorus. Let's listen to the choir sing Hallelujah, please. Hallelujah. It is a great chorus. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. But when I hear that word and sing that word, it loses its specific meaning and melds with the notes into this perfect cry from the heart. Perfect cry. cry of gratitude, a perfect cry of longing or brokenness. To me, this song is a prayer to the God of song, to beauty, to creation, to the universe. It's a prayer that confesses a great and overwhelming love, a passionate love, a sexual and human love, and a spiritual love. It's a prayer of exquisite pain and humiliation. It's a confessional prayer. It's a prayer of salvation. This hymn of praise starts with a human being who has risked love, been swept up by the passion which has not lasted. The great King David has made a choice that has led to great pleasure and then great humiliation. He's ended tied to the kitchen chair. He's lost his power. He's been betrayed. And yet, from the great agony, he finds his heart open, and a cry of gratitude sears forth. This is to be human. This is the agony and the ecstasy of living. Beautiful and terrible things happen, and we must ask, what do we do then? How do we respond? That man I mentioned before that I witnessed in the workshop, who heard the song for the first time, and he listened to it over and over and over again through the night, singing hallelujah over and over. He had just been through a terrible divorce. His hair had been cut, and he'd been tied to the kitchen chair, and his heart broke. And that night, as he sang Leonard Cohen's words over and over again, he sang his heart back into something. I don't know exactly what, but into healing, into wholeness, to being alive again. Cohen says of this song, "This world is full of conflicts and full of things that cannot be reconciled. But there are moments when we can transcend the dualistic system and reconcile and embrace the whole mess. And that's what I mean by hallelujah. That regardless of the impossibility of the situation, there is a moment when you open your mouth and you throw open your arms and you embrace the thing and you say, hallelujah. And you can't reconcile it in any other way except in that position of total surrender, total affirmation. That's the moment when we live here fully as human beings. To be human is also to risk love, to risk all for love, and to wait without hope, to brave humiliation and betrayal. Leonard Cohen, he knew about betrayal. In 2004, he got a call from his daughter, Lorca, telling him to check his bank accounts in L.A., and he discovered that his trusted manager, Kelly Lynch, had drained them of everything. So 4 years later, at the age of 74, he was persuaded to go back on tour to make some money. And the rest, as they say, is history. A biographer once asked Leonard Cohen, where did his good songs come from? And he said, if I knew where the good songs came from, I'd go there more often. It's a mysterious condition, he said. It's much like the life of a Catholic nun. You're married to a mystery. Ba-bum-bum. Part 3, Leonard Cohen, the prophet. A prophet's a person who is the spokesperson for God, inspired by God. They often predict the future. Often they need to warn the population that the conditions that they are in are not so good. And then they show the people the way forward. And they are always human and always fallible. Cohen has a song called The Future, written as the streets of L.A. were burning during the race riots of 1992. He takes on the voice of the prophet, and like an ancient Hebrew prophet, he cries out, "You don't know me from the wind. You never will, you never did. I'm that little Jew who wrote the Bible. I've seen the nations rise and fall. I've heard their stories, heard them all. But love's the only engine of survival. Your servant here, He has been told to say it clear and to say it cold. It's over. It ain't gonna go any further. And now the wheels of heaven stop and you feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. And it's murder. Harsh, clear, a conscious prophetic voice, a prophet that did not want to be the spokesperson, but felt compelled to do so. This song and the album of the same name was produced just before he stepped away from the world and went into the monastery. So I draw the conclusion that the darkness of the world broke through him then, that the pressures of his role as prophet, meaning only that he could see the darkness of the world and that as a caring, angry voice declaring that the future is coming and it is murder and knowing that love is the only engine of survival, that pressure of the dualistic clash between love and hate became so unbearable, he sought a broader understanding. He went looking for enlightenment. In his life, he sought it through the rigorous practice of Zen Buddhism, and later in life, he also sought it through the study of Hinduism under Ramesh Balsekar in India. Cohen is also, you may not know, an accomplished Jewish scholar of the Kabbalah. Rabbi Mordecai Finley of the Or Torah Synagogue in Los Angeles, where Cohen attended, said of Cohen that if it had been his thing, he had it in his power to have been one of the greatest teachers or rabbis of his generation. The last song I want to focus on is one that I believe also comes from this prophetic voice. It paints the picture of the present state of the world with a harsh and glaring light. But unlike the song The Future, it has a powerful message of redemption. Democracy. Cohen says of this song, "In democracy I addressed most everything that was happening in America. It was written when the Berlin Wall came down and everyone was saying democracy was coming to the East, and I was like the gloomy fellow who always turns up at the party to ruin the orgy or something. And I said, I don't think it's going to happen that way. But then I asked myself, where is democracy really happening? It was the USA. It is not an ironic song. This is a song of deep intimacy and affirmation of the experiment of democracy in America. That this is really where the experiment is unfolding. This is really where the races confront each other, where the classes, where the genders, where even the sexual orientations confront each other. This is the real laboratory of democracy." So says Cohen. It's not an easy song to hear. The words are harsh, blunt, disturbing, and yet it's also a hymn of deep intimacy and affirmation, as Cohen says. The music is a driving march. There is energy, strong energy to move through the truth, energy to see the world as it is. We will listen to the first two verses. This is Cohen's own voice.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those gnats in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the feel that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming to the USA. Silence. on the dock of the bay, from the brave, the bold, the battered heart of Chevrolet. Democracy has come to the USA.
Democracy is coming to the USA.
shores of need, past the reefs of greed, through the squalls of hate, sail on, sail on, sail on. It's coming to America first, the cradle of the best and the worst. It's here they got the range and the machinery for change, and it's here they got the spiritual thirst. It's here the family's broken, and it's here the lonely say that the heart has got to open in a fundamental way. Democracy is coming to the USA. There are a few more verses, but you can take them home and sing them to yourself there. What I hear in this song is that it may be messy. You may despair at the challenges you see and feel in this country, in the United States, in the Western world, the extreme tensions between the dualities of left and right, between the rich and the poor, the racial divides, the immorality of greed. But do not give up. Don't give up on the experiment that is democracy. Because as Cohen says, this is the only place where it can really happen, because it is messy. Democracy is coming. 3 years ago, and last November, I had the opportunity to see Leonard Cohen in concert. Large forum, tens of thousands of people, multiple generations. We were there to hear him, feel him, some there to meet him for the first time, others to spend some time with an old friend, some maybe to say goodbye. It was an extraordinary evening. The band was crisp, the backup singers beautiful, sexy, professional. There was showmanship, there was musical maturity, and there was Leonard Cohen, with his signature hat on his head to shield him from the harsh lights, microphone close to his mouth so that we caught every single syllable. And the evening, the whole evening, was like a prayer. Through his music, his demeanor, his soul, he invites his audience to become part of a temporary spiritual community. Carefully, he sunk down on one knee, one hand holding the microphone and the other hand slightly raised up to the sky or to God, to all that is. And as he sang, as he prayed through his lyrics, through his music, we, the audience, did so too. His audience today, his congregation, is a multi-generational, multi-ethnic, universal crowd. His prayer hall today is a music festival or a coliseum or the intimacy of one's own bedroom. And he prays and sings his message all around the world, from Palestine to Israel, New York City to Japan. Pico Iyer said in 2002, he described Cohen this way: Cohen takes us, at heart, into a mythic place, an ageless space alight with goddesses and God, where we see a lone figure walking down the road in dark Buddhist robes, a Torah in one hand, the picture of a woman in the other, always in our sight, even when he disappears into the dark. He is the lover, the monk, the prophet. And what has he been trying to tell us for these last 40 years? That we are human, and that our human perfection is our human imperfections. And that those human imperfections, the cracks in our hearts, are how the light gets in. And he tells us to risk love, to dance, and dance to the end of love, because love is the only engine of survival. And when it all gets too much, when the pain and the suffering and the confusion and the hopelessness want to break us, that is when we need to open our mouths, to throw open our arms, embrace it all, the beauty and the pain, and sing Hallelujah. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to sing the last verse of Hallelujah to end this morning.
Thank you.
So I say God bless you to those of you who are going home to family and friends. And I also say God bless you to those who live in solitude, who live a different kind of life. Let us, in our way, as Leonard Cohen tried in his way, to be free.